Chapter 5, How to Get Your Prospects to Sell Themselves. Listen, I want to let you in on one of the dirtiest secrets of your network marketing / business career. If anyone tells you there is no secret to MLM success, just hard work and dedication, they're wrong. Dead wrong. There absolutely is a secret, they just aren't aware of it. Here it is. Don't market products or opportunities. Market information. This process is called educational marketing, and it's the answer to your problems. Putting it to use can easily increase results 100 to 1,000 times or even more for someone who is previously using harassment marketing techniques. It is the key to attraction, because in order to attract people to you, you have to be positioned as a leader. In order to be positioned as a leader, you have to show that you know what you're doing. The way to do this is to teach people how to build a business before they actually join your business. Don't tell them you know what you're doing. Show them and let them draw the conclusions themselves. In fact, you want to teach them regardless of whether they intend to join your company or not. Don't worry, I'm not talking about doing this one-on-one. Remember, people aren't actually looking for an opportunity. They're looking for a solution. They want to know if they're actually going to be able to be successful in some kind of business endeavor. By giving them no-nonsense business-building advice, you're showing them how they can be successful. You're giving them a true solution, not just a nice idea that doesn't hold any water. You have to lead with this business-building info first, because everyone is resistant to becoming involved with an opportunity where they have to spend time, money, and effort, all without even knowing if it's going to work at all. This is a very hard thing to sell to someone. People are afraid to commit because they don't want to get screwed. The number one cause of fear is lack of knowledge. By educating them, you're eliminating this fear, and you're making a friend out of them. It's a much easier sale to make as well, because everyone wants information. There isn't a single person on this planet who doesn't want advice and facts that are genuinely useful to them. And what the information does is it sells your business indirectly, because it sells the need for it. It gives them the lowdown on how to really build a home-based business, which leads them to the conclusion that they need good sales and marketing strategies in order to be successful, which, hey, what do you know? You just happen to provide through your opportunity. What a coincidence. This way, your business becomes an add-on sale, and add-on sales are always easier to make than the initial sale. You've heard the saying before, it's easier to keep existing customers than to get new ones. Well, that saying always kind of went in one ear and out the other for me. It never really hit me until I understood that one of the biggest reasons people don't do business with you is because they don't believe you. If they're already a satisfied customer, i.e., if you've held up your end of the bargain and delivered good material, you've eliminated the believability factor. You've earned their trust, and your opportunity just becomes the next logical step. The most successful and wealthiest people in any field, not just MLM, don't market their products or services. They market their knowledge. They market highly valuable information that is of great interest to their target audience. How-to information that pertains to and leads into what they actually sell. Just look at real estate agents. There's a lot of parallels between their profession and ours. For the most part, they're free to market their services in whatever way they choose, just like we are. Many of them resort to second-rate prospecting methods, just like most MLMers do. Names list, referrals, the works. This is a little bit more effective for real estate agents than for network marketers, but not much. But the ones who really attract a lot of business to themselves are the ones who put their knowledge out there for people. They don't push their services hardcore. They offer useful, relevant information to people that will help them make better decisions when it comes to buying and selling real estate. They hold community education classes. They put on seminars. They publish special reports and newsletters that are filled with tips and advice. They write books. How to Sell Your Home Faster by Taking It Off the Market. The single best investment you can make when selling your home to increase its market value. 7 questions you should immediately ask a real estate broker before you even consider letting them list your house. Why you should never even think about having an open house. 2 clauses you should almost never put in your contract of sale. These are actual segments I picked out from a few different ads for some real estate classes. And people gobble this stuff up. They love it. Everyone wants to know the inside scoop. And then, when it does come time to hit the market and make a purchase, who do you think they're going to call? The gal who's passing out business cards at coffee shops? Or the one who's established herself as an expert and proven that she knows what she's doing by educating people first? It's a no-brainer. This is the great secret of all gurus. They write articles, speak at conferences, do interviews, publish books, start newsletters, write some more articles. They give away free information. Business flocks to people who are positioned as experts. They don't have to sell their products because people will automatically buy whatever they endorse. Just take a look at some well-known gurus like Robert Kiyosaki, Donald Trump, and Robert Allen. People practically trip over themselves to buy anything that has their name on it. Now, when it comes to doing business like this, through educational marketing, the most important factor, and I really don't stress this lightly, is this. The information you give your prospect has to be useful information that offers value by itself. It cannot be a shameless sales pitch disguised as educational content. You have to let them know at some point you have more to offer, but the content, not the pitch, has to be the focus. The most valuable resource on earth is time. It's the only thing you can't get more of. When you ask your busy, stressed-out prospect to listen to what you have to say, you're asking them to give away that resource. So you have to make it worth it to them. When confronted with a message of some sorts, they immediately run it through their mental filters. Is this going to be a waste of my time or not? If the answer is yes, they discard the message without thinking. If otherwise, they give it their attention. So you need to ask yourself, is your message a waste of your prospect's time or not? The problem with traditional sales methods is that there's no value in a plain old sales pitch. Your prospect has better things to do than to listen to one. The people who get the most business and who capture their prospect's attention are the ones who offer the most value in their marketing message itself. The sales pitch that stands alone is outdated, obsolete. That's a dead technology. In today's fast-paced world, where we're inundated with hundreds, even thousands of advertisements every day, people don't have time to listen to yet another offer. The only way you can get someone to pay attention to you is by giving them material that really helps them solve problems and stimulates their thinking process. You have to use your message to educate them, not sell them. It literally has to be a product in and of itself that improves people's lives. Here are some examples of the kind of information that attracts people in our target market. 8 little-known secrets to help guarantee your prospects open all your emails. How to use simple 3-minute viral videos on YouTube to bring in a flood of free traffic for your business. 11 easy techniques you can implement right away to dramatically improve your personal communication skills. How to write ads that are so good they're harder to ignore than they are to read. The truth about working from home and what it really takes to run your own business. 7 attributes every leader shares. How to set up an automated email sequence that educates your prospects for you and multiplies your personal sales power by 100. 10 steps you can take to make sure your business remains a long-term asset, not just a short one-time fluke. The biggest reason why 70% of network marketers never make it past their third month in the biz. How to make money from people who leave your website. Who do you think your prospect would rather work with? Someone who provides them with this kind of meat and potatoes info? Or someone who's desperately breathing down their neck to sign up? It's a no-brainer. Don't just tell your prospect you're here to help them. Show them. Actions speak louder than words. The best way to prove you're interested in someone's success is by investing in them first, before they ever commit to you. This harnesses the law of reciprocity, which more or less says, you reap what you sow. If you go out on a limb for someone first, this makes them feel inclined to give back to you. It almost gives them a feeling of responsibility to do so. I'm a voracious student of sales and marketing, and I try to improve my understanding of it wherever I can. I receive information from a lot of different marketers who are all selling products or services of some kind. And the ones who always get my business are the ones who prove to me they know what they're talking about before I ever buy from them. A couple people in particular send me such incredibly good material for free that when I am ready to buy something, I literally feel like I owe it to them because they've done so much for me already. Not only that, but if their free stuff is so good, how valuable is the actual product they charge for? These are the people whose emails I can't wait to receive. I give each one my undivided attention. Then there are others who I don't even bother to open anymore because I know it's just going to be another hardline pitch with no content. Here's a quasi-secret in the advertising world that you might find interesting. It's been proven that editorial-style advertisements get 500% more readership than normal, blatant ads. Note that it's editorial-style, meaning an ad doesn't even have to have actual article-worthy content in it to massively outpull other ads. All it has to do is look like an article. Why? Simply because in a magazine or newspaper that is awash with loud, blaring ads saying, "Give me your money," the one that even gives the appearance of a regular old article sticks out like a sore thumb. People don't read magazines for the ads. They read them for information. The same goes for the internet. So cement this into your brain. People are absolutely starving for good, high-quality information. And your job as a marketer is to give people what they want. Therefore, your job is to give them information. I'm a very firm believer that educational marketing is the best way to convey any kind of message to someone, whether you're trying to sell yourself, a product, a business, or an idea. It also makes your job as a salesperson much easier because it completely removes the confrontational "you against me" factor. Anytime you butt heads with someone, try to convince them directly what they should do business with you, or that you're right and they're wrong, you're going to encounter automatic resistance. It's just the knee-jerk reaction. You know how sometimes in debates you have with certain people over certain issues, you just can't seem to make any headway with them, no matter what? Even though it's obvious you're making a very compelling case for your side, and to any observer would clearly appear to be winning the argument. But remember, there is no such thing as winning an argument. It's a lose-lose situation for both parties. And sometimes, don't you think to yourself, if they could just hear this from some other source, they'd believe me? That's because oftentimes, most of the time, people will take information from a neutral third party more seriously than they will from you. Even if it's the exact same info. For some reason, it carries more weight with them. Why? Perhaps because they know you're making a concerted effort to sway their thinking, and their ego gets in the way. They just don't want to concede their point of view to you. Whatever the case, educational marketing works because of this factor. It makes the sale in a very non-threatening way. You're taken out of the picture. It's no longer an argument. It's no longer you against them. There's no clashing of emotions or egos. Instead, you're perceived as more of a third party who's just providing information. and the information has taken your place and is helping to do the selling for you, indirectly. By using educational marketing, you can get the exact same message across, except in a way that your prospect is more receptive to. They absorb the information much easier, and it has more of an impact on them. What this really boils down to is that the most powerful way to pitch someone is to not pitch them at all. Because in reality, by giving them useful information minus the sales pitch, you are in fact selling them. You're selling them on the idea that you're a valuable resource who has more to offer. What you gave them is just a taste, and if they like that taste, you hardly even need to sell them. They're already sold. Let me share one of my favorite marketing stories of all time with you to help put some teeth into this whole idea. You've heard me mention the late Claude Hopkins before. Who exactly was he, and why should you care? Well, he's considered by many to be the father of modern advertising and is nothing less than a legend in the world of direct marketing. He was the first person who truly changed advertising from pin the tail on the donkey guesswork to an actual science. His book, Scientific Advertising, is more or less regarded as the Bible of selling in print, as shown in this quote by David Ogilvy, a giant himself in the advertising world. No one should be allowed to have anything to do with advertising until he has read this book 7 times. Claude himself was a huge believer in educating the prospect, especially where other people do not. Let me give you one of the most famous examples of how he achieved extraordinary results where others couldn't by using this marvelous approach. In the early 1900s, one of the many companies that Claude was hired to do advertising work for was a brewing company called Schlitz Beer. At the time he went to work for them, they were in 5th place nationally. In those days, a beer's purity was of paramount importance to consumers. And knowing this, all breweries were crying, "Pure!" as loud as they could. They would put the word "pure" in the largest, boldest letters possible. They even took out double-page ads so they could make it bigger. But none of them ever actually proved their beer was pure, and the claims had no effect on consumers. Claude decided to go to the Schlitz Brewery so he could learn firsthand the process of brewing beer in order to help him put together their marketing campaign. What he witnessed amazed him. He saw plate glass rooms where beer was dripping over pipes and asked the reason for them. He was told those rooms were filled with filtered air so the beer could be cooled in purity. He saw enormous filters filled with wooden pulp, and they explained how that filtered the beer. They showed him how they cleaned every pump and pipe 2x daily to avoid contamination. Every bottle was cleaned 4 times by machinery to ensure it was sterilized. They showed him artesian wells that went down 4,000 feet deep for the purest water they could possibly get, even though their brewery was on Lake Michigan. And at the time, the water in Lake Michigan was clean enough to use. They showed him the vats where beer was aged for 6 months before it went out to the user. He was taken to the laboratory where they had the original mother yeast cell. It had been developed by 1,200 experiments to bring out the utmost in flavor. All the yeast used in making Schlitz beer came from that original cell. He came back to the office stunned. "Why don't you tell people these things?" he asked. "Why do you just try to yell louder than others that your beer is pure? Why don't you give them the reasons why it's pure?" They thought the idea was ridiculous. The processes we use are the exact same everyone else uses. No one can make good beer without them. But Claude assured them that people didn't know this and would be fascinated with a behind-the-scenes look at how they did things. He went on to explain that this whole process in his marketing, and by doing so, he gave purity a meaning. He didn't tell people their beer was pure. He showed them. Within a matter of months, Schlitz beer soared from being the 5th largest to the number 1 selling beer in America. In a way, it's almost like instructing a child. They always want to know Why? You can never get away with the simple just because answer. Well, this need to know why actually remains just as strong in us as we become adults. We always want to understand the reason behind things. And it's important to understand this characteristic of human beings because prospects aren't always as persistent with their questioning as little children are. The more reason why you can give someone, the more educated they become about a subject, the less they actually have to be sold. They close themselves a little bit more with every morsel of information they consume. The more they understand how this business works, the more they appreciate what you have to offer them. They understand the need for someone who provides them with the right training, guidance, system, and tools they need to make it work. Educational marketing builds perceived value. And that, my friend, is what it's all about. The game, if you will, that we refer to as business is about piling on the value. For example, it's not enough to simply say, our marketing system helps attract people to you. You have to say how it attracts people. But even more important, you have to explain why this process works and go into as much depth as you can. Explain why that works and then why that works, etc. See, you and I can both tell a prospect the exact same thing. But if I educate that prospect, if I give her a reason why what I just told her is important, she will place 10 times the amount of value on what I told her than on what you did, even if there was literally no difference between what we said. There's another fascinating little marketing experiment I'd like to share with you that pertains directly to what we're talking about here. This one's a little different, but it's just another instance that gives scientific proof to the effectiveness of giving people reasons. It was conducted by a Dr. Robert B. Cialdini in his book, The Psychology of Influence. In the animal kingdom, as well as with humans, sometimes a single sound can trigger automatic behavior. For example, when a mother turkey hears a certain chirp from her chicks, she becomes very caring and protective of them. If she doesn't hear that exact chirping sound, though, she will ignore and sometimes even kill her young. Here's where things get interesting. Listen to Dr. Cialdini describe two experiments, the first involving turkeys and the second involving humans. The first one. For a mother turkey, a polecat is a natural enemy whose approach is to be greeted with squawking, pecking, clawing rage. Indeed, the experimenters found that even a stuffed model of a polecat, when drawn by a string toward a mother turkey, received an immediate and furious attack. When, however, the same stuffed replica carried inside it a small recorder that played the cheep cheep sound of baby turkeys, the mother not only accepted the oncoming polecat, but gathered it underneath her. When the machine was turned off, the polecat model again drew a vicious attack. In other words, the cheep cheep sound of a baby turkey was the only factor that made the difference between attacking or accepting the polecat. Pretty interesting, huh? But what does this have to do with anything? Let's take a look at the second example before we figure that out. As reported by the good doctor, a well-known principle of human behavior says that when we ask someone to do us a favor, we will be more successful if we provide a reason. Harvard social psychologist Ellen Langer demonstrated this unsurprising fact by asking a small favor of people waiting in line to use the library copying machine. Excuse me, I have 5 pages. May I use the Xerox machine because I'm in a rush? The effectiveness of this request plus reason was nearly total. 94% of those asked let her skip ahead of them in line. Compare this success rate to the results when she made the request only, without giving a reason why. Excuse me, I have 5 pages. May I use the Xerox machine? Under those circumstances, only 60% of those asked complied. At first glance, it appears that the crucial difference between the two requests was the additional information provided by the words, because I'm in a rush. But a third type of request tried by Langer showed that this was not the case. It seems that it was not the whole series of words, but the first one, because, that made the difference. Instead of including a real reason for compliance, Langer's third type of request used the word because, and then, adding nothing new, merely restated the obvious. "Excuse me, I have 5 pages. May I use the Xerox machine because I have some copies to make?" The result was that once again, nearly all, 93%, agreed, even though no real reason, no new information, was added to justify their compliance. Just as the cheep cheep sound of turkey chicks triggered an automatic mothering response from maternal turkeys, even when it emanated from a stuffed polecat, so too did the word because trigger an automatic compliance response from Langer subjects, even when they were given no subsequent reason to comply. So what's the lesson here? What does this mean for us? Simply this. The persuasive power of giving people a reason why is so strong that it works even when no actual real reason is given. Even the appearance of one is enough to sway most people. By using the word because, Ellen made it sound as though she was giving a legitimate reason for her to jump ahead in line, when in reality, she wasn't. Because is actually one of my favorite words, and I use it all the time when I write. Why? Because it works. Try incorporating it yourself more often in your sales appointments and even in your daily life. It's an excellent tool for persuasive communication. This also ties right into what was mentioned just a little bit ago about editorial style advertising. An ad doesn't need to actually have content that is article worthy in order to generate a response way beyond that of other ads, as much as 500% greater. All it has to do is look like an article. Now, am I saying to deceive your prospects and not actually give them real content just to make it look like you are? Absolutely not. All I'm doing is illustrating the incredible power of human beings' desire to be educated. The need to understand why is so strong that even the slightest hint of good information has an enormous impact on people. If the mere impression of good information can get these kinds of responses, just think what actually giving people real solid gold info can do for you. In fact, let me restate again the whole key to making educational marketing work. You have to give people valuable information that is highly useful to them by itself. This is true for anyone practicing educational marketing, but especially for network marketers. The bar is raised a lot higher for us because, there it is again, our prospects have been lied to and taken advantage of so much, it's gotten to the point where they won't stand for anything that appears to be a waste of their time. Only the most straightforward and relevant info will do. They're just a little bit more shrewd and discerning than, say, someone who's waiting in line to make copies would be. Another benefit of all this goes back to the fact that when someone convinces themselves of something, it has a lot more oomph than if you were to convince them of the same thing. When someone reads something and find themselves in agreement with it, they take more ownership of it. It seems to be more their idea than if someone had directly tried to convince them of it. What's more, an educated prospect is the very best kind of prospect. The more you can educate someone, the more of a proponent they become of your way of doing things. You're creating a stronger future business partner and building your annuity because someone who understands why things are done a certain way is able to handle the ups and downs better and will stick around longer. For this reason, educational marketing is the most leveraged way to sell to people and build your long-term business assets. Despite all this, do you know what one of the biggest concerns is that people express to me about using educational marketing? It goes something like this. But I don't want to waste that material on someone if I don't know they're going to do business with me. I don't want to be taken advantage of. Or, how do I know they're even going to use that information? I don't like the idea of giving stuff away to people without them paying for it. Unfortunately, this kind of short-sighted thinking prevents most people from ever reaching their business's full potential. You absolutely must be willing to go out on a limb for your prospect before you ever ask them to take a chance on you by forking over their time and money. Besides, thanks to the internet, most of the free information we give to people is also free for us to produce. By asking for a business commitment from them, you're asking for their trust. But how can you expect them to trust you if you haven't proven yourself to be trustworthy? You have to invest in them first. Not only that, but there's no better way to sell someone on what you have than by giving them a sample of it and having them like it. If they like what they see, taking the next step is a no-brainer. By giving them business building advice, you're giving them a taste of how you operate, how you do business, which means that's how they'd be doing business if they work with you. Just look at the food industry. The most proven method for getting the sale is to simply give someone a free sample. Let them try it out. If they like it, they've sold themselves. Our friend Claude Hopkins had this to say about investing in your prospect first. There are other ways, I know, to win in selling and advertising, but they are slow and uncertain. Ask a person to take a chance on you, and you have a fight. Offer to take a chance on him, and the way is easy. I have always taken chances on the other fellow. I have analyzed my proposition until I made sure that he had the best end of the bargain. Then I had something that people could not well neglect. I have been robbed in plenty, but the robbery cost me 10 times less than trying to enforce any safe proposition. Sure, you're going to get some freeloaders. You'll get people who will take everything they can without ever actually committing to anything. But who cares? The increased results you get overall far outweigh any resources you expend on those people. Look at it from an ROI standpoint. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Advertising and marketing is not an expense. Going out on a limb for your prospect is not an expense. It's an investment. And the more you invest, the greater your return will be. Some prospects will give you an enormous return, and some won't give you any. But you don't care, because in the end, you're coming out ahead. People who don't give you any return on your investment weren't going to do business with you anyway. You're not worried about selling them. You're trying to sell the people who are sitting on the fence. The people who want to commit but aren't quite sure. They need a little more to push them over the edge. The ones who are serious know that they have to take the next step if they're going to get anywhere. And when they do this, you're the first and only one that pops into mind. We've covered a lot of ground so far, but we're not done. There's still a bunch of things we need to do before our organizations are bursting at the seams with new reps. So let's not waste any time. On to the next chapter.